Welcome to our 14th session in sharing on St. Thérèse of Lisieux. As we begin this particular series, I'd like to share with you some things you might want to order. The Carmelite nuns in Detroit have put a puzzle together, and they're selling this puzzle for $10.95 each. If you want to call the monastery number is 810, and then it's 790-7255. This is in Detroit, Michigan, the monastery of St. Thérèse. It's a clever idea. One of the sisters has painted the different faces of St. Thérèse on this puzzle. The monastery is at number 810, area code 790-7255. There's also a wonderful book published by Laser Press, L-A-S-E-R. It's called Wounds of Love, Wounds Healed by Love Alone, by Daniel Lange, is a translation from the French. It's called Wounds Healed by Love Alone, a charismatic interview with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And last but not the least is a wonderful book, a picture book, plus it explains many, many things. This is Thérèse and Lisieux. The telephone number is publisher's Novalis, N-O-V-A-L-I-S. The area code for that is area code 416-363-3303. Area code 416-363-3303. It's a lovely book full of all kind of wonderful pictures that have not been published as yet, except in this book. We'd like to share with you today some pictures of Thérèse with a little bit of a commentary on each picture. And we begin with the baptism, one of the most important events in her life. She was a very, Mrs. Martin had lost 4 children, so when Thérèse was born, she was quite weak, so they baptized her, and she went out for a year with Rose Taillet as a wet nurse. And Thérèse did return home and became a healthy girl. But the problem with Thérèse, she always had weak lungs, and that was one of her major problems in her life, catching cold, bronchitis. The winters in Normandy, where she was, were very, very severe. And they certainly, if you take a good look at this particular picture, she looks very healthy. And this is when she was 8 years old. A very strong person, strong-willed. She had a very good sense of humor even at that age. She said to one of the She heard a priest talk about the Blessed Mother, and she said she was bored with that homily. And the mother said, oh, Thérèse is really something else. She was a very vivacious little girl. Her mother asked her to kiss the floor for a sou, say 10 cents. And she said, I don't want to kiss the floor for 10. So, you know, we picture the saints sometimes as people who just were kind of, you know, non-personality, but she had a very strong personality. Take a good look at this picture as she was younger there. She was... you can see her temperament in that particular picture. You know, she was a very semi-introvert, actually, but she was a thinker. She watched and she listened a lot. After her mother died when she was 3 1/2, she said, I didn't say much, but I listened, I understood, and I heard more than they wanted me to hear, she said. So she was a very fragile, and after her mother's death, she led a very difficult life for 10 years. She certainly... matured in those 10 years after her mother's death, but they were very difficult. And of course, this picture was this is a drawing of Thérèse for her first communion when she was 11 years old. The eyes are very powerful. Thérèse had beautiful eyes, and she looked very intense there. She prepared for her Holy Communion for 4 years. At Céline's communion, she was preparing to receive. She was so happy when Céline received her first communion, and when she received her communion first communion 4 years later, she said, it was the first kiss of Jesus. This is taken, a picture taken at Les Buissonnet in Lisieux, her house, and it's her first communion dress, things she played with, her dishes, some of the jump rope that she used, and the communion dress was quite integrated. And it's amazing how they saved all these things when you think of it, you know. We have so many things that she used. If you visit the Carmelite Monastery in Lisieux, there's a whole section, a whole wall with different displays of her habit and the table that she used and things that were important to her. It's quite lovely. You can see in French, German, Italian, Polish, and just, you know. This is a picture of her father. Mr. Martin was 50 when Therese was born, and you can see he was a great contemplative. He was a very peaceful man. He wanted to become a monk of St. Bernard, but he didn't get accepted, which was wonderful because we wouldn't have had Therese if he'd been accepted. He met his wife, Zelie, and they were married at midnight, which was a custom at that time in the church in Alençon, where Therese was born. Therese, of course, was the ninth child in the family. This particular statue, Our Lady of the Smile, followed Therese her whole life. An elderly lady had given that to Mr. Martin when he was young, and he stayed in his family. And it's still in Lisieux Carmel. It's above the, in one of the side chapels where there's a wax image of Therese, the dead Therese, you know. It's quite a lovely statue, and Therese was known for her smile. The nuns were very amazed that Therese had had a great smile. This is Zelie Martin. Zelie Martin had a very difficult childhood herself. She died when she was in her mid-40s, and her worry was that would she be able to bring up her five daughters. She certainly was a remarkable mother. The mother and the father are now venerable. We can pray to them. They're doing wonderful favors. I think that they're a good example of for a family, for marriages, young marriages, to take Zelie and Louis or Mr. and Mrs. Martin as an example. They went to daily communion. They were a very prayerful family. They were a very joyful family. Of course, when Mrs. Martin died, when Therese was 3 1/2, that was a terrific shock for Mr. Martin, too. That's why they moved to Lisieux. This is an interesting picture of, it's a chasuble, what the priest wears at Mass, but it's a picture, it's Mrs. Martin's dress that Therese made into an alb. The two bottom roses are Mr. and Mrs. Martin, and the five flowers in the middle of the picture are the five daughters, and the four buds are the four children that died very young. And of course, the family devotion and Therese's main devotion was to the Holy Face of Jesus. And we didn't have time to do this on this series, but Therese painted many, many pictures, and she was a very great artist. She had the gift of painting and writing. Her autobiography, the year after she died, sold several thousand. This is a picture of the oldest daughter, Marie. They called her the Lion, the Lion. Marie, thank heaven for Marie. It was Marie who asked Therese to write down her memoirs. Therese would have never done it if Marie hadn't asked her. It was Marie who asked her to write, tell us about her little way. She didn't like it. She didn't like what Therese was writing. Therese had to write another letter, which has become part of the autobiography, where she had a chance to really explain her little way. This is Pauline, who became Mother Agnes. Now, Pauline was a real sweetheart. She was a superior of the monastery for life. After Therese died, the Pope made her superior. She was very close to many popes and many bishops. In fact, she'd only come to the parlor, to the grill, as they have here, where Mother Angelica sees different people. The problem is that she would only come for cardinals, because there were so many bishops, so many priests that wanted to talk to Mother Agnes. And she was very greatly loved. Therese always called her my little mother. And Agnes had a fear of death, which is interesting. Mother Agnes feared death, but she had a beautiful death, actually, when she was 90. This is the problem child, the one that most of us love today so much, Léonie. Léonie had a nervous disorder. She had a difficult time learning. Therese was very, very close to Léonie, and she made several attempts to enter religious life and came out, several attempts at the Visitation Sisters. And what was so beautiful is Therese said, after my death, you will enter the monastery and you will persevere, which she did. Léonie's tomb now, many people visit her tomb in Caen, where she's in the crypt of the monastery, and many favors are. So we have four people that are very holy in this family. Céline was Therese's confidante. Therese and her wrote many beautiful letters before Céline entered the monastery. But once Céline entered the monastery, their relationship changed a bit. It's one thing to talk about the spiritual life in letters. It's another thing to actually enter a monastery and live the life with her sister, because her sister was spiritually mature and extremely you know, well-balanced in the community. And, of course, Lean had a difficult time because she was managing her household. And there's a wonderful picture of Trez here when she was 14. They went to see the bishop, and she wanted to look older, so she put her hair up. And this picture shows a good, thank heaven she had a determined personality, that she knew what she wanted and she knew what God at this time wanted her to do. And so she went to Rome to ask permission of the Holy Father. And that was a very powerful experience, her trip to Italy, her love of the Alps. And the Pope did say to her, well, you will enter if it's God's will. Then coming back to Lisieux, this is her house at Le Bouzonnet, meaning the little bushes, because it was surrounded by on two sides by bushes. This was Trez's bedroom. And, of course, it isn't seen in that picture, but there's a picture of, there's a statue on the left of the bed, Our Lady of the Smile. Trez had a difficult time entering the monastery, obviously because she was 15. I mean, who would accept a 15-year-old girl into a monastery? But because of her determination and because of the fact that she wanted it and she was so mature. What's interesting, this picture is Our Lady of Victory in Paris. This is where she received an inner assurance that Our Lady actually did smile at her. Our Lady of Victories is a wonderful church in Paris. It's a beautiful Catholic bookstore across from there, and there's many pilgrims today. And in the church, they have different plaques where Trez prayed and different sections where she received many graces. So all these shrines or all these places continue to grow. And Trez has affected millions of people's lives. This looks like an insignificant picture, two little pair of shoes in front of a fireplace, but this is where her conversion took place. This is where the French used to fill up the shoes with little knickknacks and things for Trez, and Trez's father said, hope this is the last year that Trez is going to have these baby things. And Trez was upstairs changing taking off her hat, and she came down the steps, and she was a new person. She had gained control over her emotions. And she became a liberated person, and she needed this miracle. And she's a good example of those of us who might need a miracle of healing of our emotions. This is a picture of the Lisieux today, 1997. This is a picture of what the chapel looks like, the Blessed Sacrament. Off to the right there, near the nuns' choir, they've simplified the church. And as I said, 1,700,000 people visit that church here. So you can imagine what the poor nuns go through, this Mass in German, Mass in Italian every day. And the priests that visit this monastery, those of you priests who want, you have to go into the sacristy, because in the sacristy is the altar that Trez took her vows at, and you can say Mass at that altar. And that same tabernacle that Trez climbed up on the altar and knocked on that tabernacle door. Jesus, are you there? She said. This is the actual door, 9th, 1888. The plaques on the wall are plaques, and most French churches will have a section where people will put up a plaque in thanksgiving to the Blessed Mother and thanksgiving to St. Therese and thanksgiving to Blessed Faustina for so such and such a favor. It's very popular in France. So Therese enters the monastery, and certainly what she sees, of course, is this is the nuns' choir or the nuns' church. The public chapel is, you look straight ahead on the left, is the public chapel. The curtain is drawn because they're cloistered, and they only open the curtain up for Mass. On the right of that picture, you see a clock, and that's Mr. Martin's clock. That was after his death, that clock was given to the monastery. In the center was a picture of the Holy Face, which was Trez's devotion. Trez spent 2 hours a day in that church, morning and evening, plus several other hours chanting the office. But the hour of mental prayer with the sisters was beautiful. She was in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the morning for an hour, and she was in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the evening. This is a picture of the Holy Face, where this is the part of the chapel, her particular, call it her pew or her place. The Holy Face was so important to her because the face of Jesus she saw as really thirsting for souls, that the Lord really wants to be close to us, and so many people put up a barrier, or they're just too busy for the Lord. And Trez is telling us in these days, take time to pray, take time to be with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And we as Catholics have to renew our love for the Eucharist. This is her bedroom, or officially called the cell. She spent many hours in this room writing her autobiography, and the different novices would knock on her door when she became a novice mistress, assistant novice mistress. the nuns would knock on her door for spiritual direction, or they would knock on her door if they needed. There was a lot of letters in the monastery, and the reason there were letters, because they didn't talk during the day. Picture, after a year and a half, Therese became a novice, and she looked quite well there. You know, her face is very full, and she was very happy. Didn't mean that life was always easy for her in the monastery, but she had a deep peace, and she was a joyful soul. And she kept her sense of humor, which we all need to do in difficult times. The difficulty was just simply that Mother Gonzague rather tested this vocation, and she had every right to test her vocation, but Thérèse took it all as coming from the Lord herself. Mother Gonzague had great love for Thérèse and admired her and said that she would have been a good superior of the monastery, no question about it. And this is what we're celebrating, that Thérèse's deep faith for a 16-year-old girl to enter a monastery and to leave her home and to really enter into God's way is a remarkable feat. This is the inside of the enclosure, of course, that's the church, the exterior church, that when you come to the zoo, you enter. On the right, you notice there was a large statue of Saint Therese. Inside the enclosure, you know, she had to get used to the food, she had to get used to the horarium, you know, the schedule. They were very, I can't say busy, but there was not an easy schedule. They were always doing something. There was a lot of prayer, maybe 4.5 hours of prayer a day, besides the Mass and the Adoration. This is a picture of Therese taken after her vows. If you take a good look at this picture, you see the depth of her. She was a recollected soul, you know. The problem why she isn't smiling, you know, in those days you had to hold the pose for like 8 or 9 seconds, and it's hard to hold a smile that long. But she said that, well, if I'm not smiling, of course she saw all these pictures, and she said, if I'm not smiling at you in the picture, I will be smiling at you from somewhere else. So she certainly was a person that had a wonderful interior life that God did raise up as an example of how wonderful it is to be close to Jesus. She certainly is a model of hope for us all. Because if you think of Saint Therese, you want to keep in mind that the one word that describes Saint Therese is love. Love of God and love of neighbor. These are her novices. On the top is Mother Agnes and Mother Gonzague. On the right is Celine and then Sister Martha. Sister Martha remained in the novitiate with Therese. Therese remained in the novitiate her whole life. She took her vows. And most of us who are monks or nuns or religious know that it's no small thing to remain in the novitiate your whole life, you know. But she remained there. God put her there mainly to be with the novices and to be a good example, to form them spiritually, which she did very well. And it isn't, you know, anybody that does spiritual direction knows that it's not easy to be a spiritual director. You know, people can kind of dig in their heels. This is a picture of Therese. Martha's on the other side, but this is an interesting picture of Therese, you know. She certainly gives the impression that she's centered, which she was. And she wrote many poems. This is Martha. Martha was about 8 years older than Therese, and Martha had a very strong personality, and she wrote many poems for Martha. And what's interesting, when someone asked Therese to write her poems, to start writing poems, Mother Agnes didn't think she had any talent that way, and Therese didn't either. But Sister Therese of St. Augustine, the one nun that Therese had a great deal of difficulty in the beginning with, was thanks to her that we have 54 poems of St. Therese's poetry. If you notice on the left, on the lower left, there's Marie the Trinity. And Marie the Trinity was the closest to Therese outside the immediate other sisters, the family. Marie the Trinity had such devotion to Therese that I think that if it wasn't for Therese's spiritual leadership, that Marie the Trinity would have probably left the community. But because some of the nuns didn't want her to stay in the community, but Therese kind of went from cell to cell and said, you know, don't be afraid to accept Marie the Trinity. This is a picture of her actual autobiography, the Story of a Soul, the manuscripts. Story of a Soul, autobiography, it's the same thing. Some people call it the manuscript. In French, it's the manuscrit. And she wrote it in the year 1895 when she was 22 years old, a spiritual master. It just kind of blows your mind when you think of it. But the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit will do a lot more in us if we let him. Therese was just very open to the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is a wonderful picture, too, of Therese as sacristan. Now, she saw all these pictures herself, and this is her favorite picture. This is the one she liked because she's holding a host in one hand and a host in the other hand. She loved the Mass. She loved the Eucharist. And, of course, those are all her four sisters with her, plus her cousin, Marie Guérin, who was a year younger than Thérèse. She entered, too, and Marie Guérin, who was her uncle's daughter, died when she was... Marie Guérin died when she was 35 years old. So we have here a remarkable family, the cousins, and we have a remarkable family all the way around, the mother, the father, the cousins, and Thérèse herself. Thérèse was not considered a saint in her day. The saint of the monastery was Mother Genevieve, and Mother Genevieve founded the monastery. And Thérèse was considered quite a nice person, very kind, very pious, but nothing special. This is a fantastic picture of Thérèse because she's taking a flower and holding the crucifix. And what she's doing here is she's giving flowers of her sacrifices, of her love to the Lord. And she's not usually that demonstrative, but when it comes to the cross and when it comes to Jesus, she is demonstrative. Jesus is such a center of her life. And whatever Jesus wants, she's willing to do with great joy, especially in accepting her early death. You know, if that's what the Lord wanted, she was ready. This is a wonderful picture, too, of Thérèse on the left, in the middle between, on the left of Thérèse, on looking at the picture, on the far left is Mary the Trinity, and on the right of Thérèse is Céline. And they both kind of vied for Thérèse's affection. Thérèse was such a loving person that... But she often taught Mary the Trinity, if there's enough room in my heart for everybody. Thérèse taken in the garden when she began to feel rather ill with this tuberculosis. She always had weak lungs and bronchitis, even as a child. And for several years, she had a hoarse voice. And Maria the Trinity entered the monastery. She had a wonderful voice. And Thérèse said, well, now you can kind of take my place in choir because my voice is so husky. And so we have the beautiful example of Thérèse and spiritual friendships. How do we, you know, we all have to give our love to our spiritual friends and not show preference and to continue to loving. This is a picture of the famous Léonie, the black sheep of the family. When Pope Pius XII came to Lisieux in 1936, he mentioned the four sisters. He went through Agnes and Pauline. He forgot even to mention poor Léonie. So she's been kind of forgotten, but she's not going to be forgotten for long because there's a wonderful book out on Léonie. It's just called Léonie, and you can go to your Catholic libraries and pick that up. This is a picture of Thérèse wearing a wig, dressed as Joan of Arc. She wrote the play, made the costume, and took the lead. She wrote several plays that haven't been translated as yet in English, but they will be translated soon. There's no doubt about it. Her plays, she said, if you want to read my plays on Joan of Arc, you'll learn everything about how I feel about death. And Thérèse has a lot to say about dying and a lot to say about death for such a young person. Joan of Arc, of course, wasn't canonized when Thérèse was alive. And what's very interesting is that she did become very close. And they're both co-patrons in France. This is a picture of Maurice Bellier, that seminarian that she wrote to, who also died when he was very young. And this is the picture. This is the man that Thérèse said, my crucifix, that my kisses will leave off where yours begin. Thérèse really had to take him into hand because he was very afraid of the Lord. And she said, you know, we can't have this. We can't be afraid of the Lord. So there's many other pictures that we can't show them all today. But if you get that book on Thérèse, there's many, many books in that particular. This, without being too dramatic, I think this is a Christ. She looks like Christ here. She has that depth of spirit that reaches out. She looks like the suffering Christ in this. This is when she was ill. The penetrating eyes and the determination to do what God wants her to do. Really powerful, powerful picture. Thérèse entered death with peace. And she didn't know how she was going to die or when she was going to die. And she said, you know, if I choke to death or if I suffocate to death, then I suffocate to death. I mean, that was a noble... I mean, the average person would be terrified. And she just said, God knows best. This is an icon. It's an actual picture, but it looks like an icon. That peace radiating from the face of Thérèse. That deep peace that Jesus... it looks like a resurrectional picture. That she radiated Christ in her life and in her death. She radiated Christ. And that's what we're to do in our Christian life, is to radiate Jesus, to bring, you know, not to bring ourselves as much, but let the power of the Holy Spirit through our heart, through our eyes and through our thoughts, through our words and our lips. This is a picture, another close-up of this particular picture of Trez after death. That deep peace that we all will experience after we die. So it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you for listening to these and watching these sharings on Trez. We've just scratched the surface. There's so many things that can be said about Trez. Read her autobiography. There's so many books out on Trez. This particular picture is painted by Celine. And it's a very lovely picture of Trez. So be of good cheer. Thank you for your kind attention. And don't be afraid to be more daring with the Lord. You know, when you receive communion, you know, ask Him to do more things in you. Let the Holy Eucharist just fill you with this light and heal you. Great healing in the Holy Eucharist. And this is what Trez is telling us today, is draw close to Jesus in the Eucharist. Adore the Lord in the Eucharist. And don't be afraid of what the Lord wants you to do, because He's going to do it in you. We, of ourselves, we can do nothing. Without You, Lord, we can do nothing. So I ask the Lord to bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may Our Lady cover you her mantle of protection and holy wisdom. Thank you very much.